Now tonight I don't want to take too long in my message, but I would like to talk primarily to young people and their parents. I heard about a preacher who was speaking a long time, and a little boy asked his father, "Father, isn't he finished yet?" And the father replied, "He finished a long time ago, but he can't stop." You know, I think today that there's a desperation among young people. They want to buy things and use things and see things and experience things. "My parents had their chance and I want mine," says a lot of young people. But there's a hunger for intimacy that drives them to more and more sex. A wanting to find escape or pleasure that drives them to try new drugs. But none of these things seem to satisfy. There's always a longing for something more. And that was true of the young man that came to Jesus. The 10th chapter of Mark's Gospel, beginning at verse 17. "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" Now notice that little word "do," that's the key word. What do I have to do to inherit eternal life? "And Jesus said unto him, 'Why do you call me good? There's none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, and honor thy father and mother.' And he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all of these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, 'One thing you lack.'" Notice, "one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, give it to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. And then come take up the cross and follow me." And this man thought about it for a little while, and he was sad and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around and saith to his disciples, "How hard it is for those that have riches to enter into the kingdom of God." And the disciples were astonished at the words, but Jesus answered again and saith unto them, "Children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." And they were astonished out of measure among themselves, "Who then can be saved?" And Jesus, looking upon them, said, "With man it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." This young man also was searching, but he had not found. He'd probably searched in the area of alcohol or sex or drugs or whatever, and religion, and the legalism that some religion imposes on people. But he hadn't found the answer that he was searching for: purpose and meaning to his life, and a joy and a peace and a satisfaction that he wanted and he needed. Some young people are searching and questing, and many of them have become rebels without a cause. A Cornell University professor, in a book published this past week on the perplexities of youth, claims that the letters and questions the young are asking today no longer focus on how to function sexually as much as how to deal with the effects of drugs and depression. Why is life so meaningless? Our young people today seemingly have so few heroes. Adolescence is now a prolonged period. They live in an unreal world created by movies and television. The expectation gap is so tremendous. And we think that all problems can be solved instantly. And if they're not solved instantly, we get impatient and start marching and crying and screaming. And then there's emptiness. I quoted yesterday two university presidents who said that the greatest problem on campus today is emptiness and lack of commitment. Then there's a lack of purpose on the part of thousands of young people. And then there's the availability of drugs and what drugs has done and is doing to our generation. And then rebellion. Many young people in rebellion. They're in rebellion against their parents. They're in rebellion against any rules or authority. They're in rebellion in the school, in rebellion against all sorts of things. We're living in a period of rebellion. And this is what happened to our first parents, Adam and Eve, in the perfect environment. Peace, justice, love, everything in that garden. And God said, you can have anything you want except one tree. You're not to eat of that tree. If you do, you will suffer and die. Would man love God and follow God? Or would he disobey God and rebel against God and suffer and die? Because Adam was acting for the entire human race. You and I are the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve made a decision. They decided they could build their world without God. Now, God had planned to build a marvelous world on this planet. No disease, no war, no jails, no police forces, no military forces, no wars, no bombs. Peace with justice, no hunger. It was to be a perfect world. But man rebelled against God. And in man's rebellion, God judged him. And he began to suffer, and he began to die. And it's passed on from generation to generation down to you and me today. We are under the judgment of God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But there is a second death the Bible talks about, separation from God, which Jesus called hell. Hell in this life and hell in the life to come. Man is in rebellion and you are in rebellion. The Bible indicates that the troubles of the universe began long before that, when Lucifer, son of the morning, rebelled against God. I'm not going to go into all that. It's too complicated. It would take too long. Where did sin come from? Where did the devil come from? All those questions I could answer here tonight, but I'm not going to take that kind of time. You can read the 14th chapter of Isaiah and the 28th chapter of Ezekiel, and it'll throw some light on that. 2 Peter 2:10 says, there will be contempt for authority at some future point. And now we have a contempt for authority almost everywhere in our school system. But youth want to feel and experience. They said, don't listen to the music, feel it, experience it. And what are young people searching for? First, I think they're searching for some fun and pleasure. I know I was. I'm not going to tell you all the things I did, but I was searching for it. I found a little. We had to work too hard on the farm. If you were raised on a farm, a dairy farm, and you have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and milk cows and go to school, come back and milk those same cows, you're a little too tired for fun and pleasure every night. But the Bible teaches that there is pleasure in sin. Go ahead and sin. Go ahead and break God's laws. You can have some fun. Sure. For a season. Short time. But then comes the bitterness. The terrible lashing conscience. The guilt. Do you know where you find the fun and the pleasure and the joy that's permanent? In Psalm 16:11, it says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Fullness, all the joy you could ever dream about is found in the presence of God. Then I think there are many young people today that are searching for a purpose in their lives. What's the purpose of your existence? You see, God watched you from the moment of conception. He saw you through those months of gestation. He saw you born. He had the hairs of your head numbered. He knows all about you, not only the things you do, but your thoughts. your intents, they're all on his computers. If we can develop computer systems like we've got today, think what God must have. He has it all down. And then they're asking, I think, moral questions. They want to know why. They want to know who says it's wrong to do this or that. And their conscience bothers them. Then there are many young people that want change. They ignore history. They ignore human nature many times. They want utopia now. But only God can bring utopia. And someday, thank God, the Bible says God's going to bring it. It's the kingdom of God that is going to triumph. And then many young people are searching for hope and security. A famous man committed suicide and he left a note the other day. He said, I have no option. I must kill myself because I'm living without hope. We've put all the emphasis in our generation on the material things of this life, and youth are rejecting that, and they want something more. They suspect that there's something more than the material things they see around them. There is no answer unless you believe that there's God. And we believe that that God has been revealed to us in this book and revealed fully in the person of Jesus Christ. But I'm finding that young people today want to be committed. Now, Jesus said in Matthew, the 18th chapter and the 3rd verse, except ye be converted and become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Be converted. What does that mean? We've heard that word so long that many of us shy away from it. We're embarrassed about it. And in a way, I don't blame you. It's been so misused. The word converted, as used by Jesus in the scriptures, means to change, to turn around. Just to change your way of living. To turn toward God. Turn from self, from your selfishness, from your sins, and turn toward Christ at the cross. And ask him to forgive your sins and change your life. And he will convert you. He will change you from a sinner on the broad road that leads to destruction to a believer on the narrow road that leads to eternal life. And on that narrow road, you spend your time doing good works. You spend your time helping your neighbor, loving your neighbor. You spend your time helping to feed the poor, taking care of the homeless. You spend your time going out of your way to see if you can find people of another race that you can do something for and be friends to. You become a true believer, a true follower of Christ, because he said, if you're not willing to take up your cross and follow me, you cannot be my follower. Have you taken up the cross? The cross means death to self. He said, I'm going to die on a cross. I want you to follow me to that cross. Will you go to the cross with him? And the cross may mean doing things that you never dreamed you could ever do before. Now, what's involved in conversion? Change, yes. Change of view. Change of feeling. Sorrow for sin. Are you sorry that you've sinned? We're all sinners. If I break the law, I'm under the sentence of death. And so I'm under the sentence of death, eternal death. But somebody came and took that death for me, took my place. And now God says, because of what my son Jesus Christ has done on the cross, where God laid upon him all my sins, he endured hell and death and judgment in for me, Because of that, God says, I can forgive you, and not only forgive you, I forget that you've ever sinned. God is the only person in the universe that can forget. He erases the tape. It'll never be played at the judgment. It means surrender, faith. Commit, surrender, an act of the will. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, the scripture says. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That word believe means to commit, surrender to. Yesterday, nearly 1,300 people came here and came forward when I asked them to come to commit their lives to Christ. I covet that for all of you young people that are searching for something to believe in, for a flag to march under, for a slogan to say, for a song to sing. It's all yours, wrapped up in Christ. I'm asking you to make sure tonight. Oh yes, you go to church. Maybe you go to Sunday school. Maybe you're in a youth society. When I came to Christ, I was vice president of the Young People's Society in our Presbyterian church. But I knew that there was something else. I didn't know what it was. Till finally I gave my life to Christ. Whatever we called it, conversion, consecration, dedication, I needed Christ fully in my life. I wanted him to forgive my sins. I wanted to be sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven. And till this day, I was 16 then, till this day, I'm sure. I'm 10,000 times more sure now than when I first came. Because my certainty is backed up with a great deal of proof. I know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, if I died at this moment, I'd go straight into the presence of God. Do you know that? You can know it.